I'm Howard Bryant.
And that's not right. This is not fair. This has happened to me too many times. This is not fair.
That was Serena Williams talking to chair umpire Carlos Ramos during last Saturday's seismic U.S. Open women's final, won convincingly by Naomi Osaka. The championship belonged to a dominant Osaka, but the events of the day, the point penalties, the behavior of Ramos and Williams, the acidic aftermath, and the questions of race, gender, and equal treatment made this more than a tennis match. So instead of three stories you should know, this week we're going to talk about three angles of this one big complicated story. Joining me today are Amira Rose Davis, Assistant Professor of History, Women's Gender and Sexuality Studies at Penn State University. Welcome to the show, Amira.
Hey.
And Julie DeCaro, sports writer and host at 670 The Score in Chicago via Skype. Welcome back, Julie.
Hi, Howard.
So let's look at the first side of this, which is Serena herself. My first thought when she said, "This has happened to me too many times," was history. I can't remember a great player that gets less dispensation than Serena. This woman and her family have been under constant assault since they came in to the sport 25 years ago. Whether we're talking about the unflattering cartoons, the body shaming, the cat suit attack that started this tournament. And now I looked at this and I said, this feels personal. Amira, I could see why she saw it as personal. What were your thoughts on this?
I teed on that same word choice. This happens to me how many times, again and again. And that's the frustration I felt coming from Serena Williams, especially around accusations of cheating. That's the first thing she bristled at. And it immediately conjured memories of me of Indian Wells, where there's allegations of her father, Richard Williams, fixing the match, this idea that the fix was in.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that treatment there, the chorus of boos, racially charged comments and screams towards them led to Serena's 14-year boycott of Indian Wells. So I think that the history certainly had made it feel very personal to Serena. And I also think the reaction also felt deeply personal.
Amira's absolutely right. It goes back to her and Venus making their debut in this sport with their beads and looking different mm-hmm. from everyone else, and the way that they were immediately sort of segregated from everyone else and they were a constant source of attention. I thought, you know, this has got to be just absolutely the last straw for her. And she does such a great job normally of being so stoic in the face of all this stuff. It was really difficult, I think, to watch her struggle for all women, knowing how she feels, and of course, particularly for women of color. And it's hard to say it's not personal, right? When you immediately see the backlash on Twitter, people saying she broke the rules. You see the cartoon that came out of Australia, which depicts her as this hulking, almost Sambo-like character of herself.
With a pacifier on the court.
Absolutely. And with Naomi Osaka as depicted as a slender Caucasian woman, which I don't even know where that came from.
To me, when you have privilege, everything is an isolated incident. When you're Serena and you feel like you don't, nothing is. Let's go to the second side of this, which is the double standard. Here is Serena to the tournament director.
There are men out here that do life parts because I'm a woman. Because I'm a woman, you're going to take this away from me? That is not right.
That was a little hard to hear, but what Serena was saying was that there are men on tour who do a lot worse. Julie, you wrote a great piece about this double standard, and Martina Navratilova wrote another great piece in the New York Times that men acting like jerks shouldn't be the standard. But how tiring does it get, not only to have to navigate this double standard, but to also be told that it doesn't exist?
It is exhausting. And part of the issue in this is that this particular umpire, Carlos Ramos, in the past 2 years has given warnings to Rafael Nadal and to Novak Djokovic for similar issues. And Novak Djokovic said to him, you know, called him out for having different rules for different people. Rafael Nadal said to him, "You will never chair another one of my matches." He didn't punish them for it. But this, for some reason to him, was so untenable that he felt he just couldn't sit there for it. And I think we all know why. Jimmy Connors called a referee an abortion. I mean, we all know what John McEnroe did on the sidelines. And it never led to this kind of conversation and this kind of international debate. So how do you take it as anything other than it being because she's a woman? And there's so many things about her that are constantly criticized and commented on. The way she wears her hair, it's her body looking different than the way they think most women in tennis's body should look. And she always manages to rise above it, and she always seems to say the right thing. And I think that watching her face crumple was so identifiable to so many women, because in the workplace, no matter how badly we're treated, we are always expected to bear it with a smile and with grace. And the idea of a woman just completely losing it on a man who has wronged her is something that is still so foreign and so unacceptable to so many people. And I think we saw that play out, you know, in the conversation that we're having across the country right now.
Yeah. Here's Serena again.
You owe me an apology. Say it. Say you're sorry. Well, then don't talk to me. Don't talk to me.
You know, as tirades go, that's pretty tame if you watch tennis. But now you even have umpires talking about perhaps discussing a boycott. And Julie, you're right. Players have done this for a long time. But a boycott over this? Amira.
That's where you can see this kind of double standard. Where was that energy for all of these other moments? And I think personally, one of the things I noticed when I watched that is it immediately brought me back to when I was a high school soccer player and was called on a tight call and another coach was screaming and telling me I was an animal. And the feeling of like, excuse me, how are you so card happy now when I have watched boys on the varsity team do far worse? So it starts really young, where you start to see the disparity and how tightly the game is called. And I feel such a frustration at, you know, this ability to who can have outbursts, who can get mad, who has the full spectrum of emotions available to them as an athlete and as a person. And so that's one of the things about this situation that really jumped out to me, particularly as a Black woman. I think that immediate feeling that you've transgress the box that you know you have to be in. You've opened the door now for racist cartoons. You've opened the door for the people to construct this image of a brutish, angry Black woman. You've opened the door for everything that you know is going to come. And that's one of the reasons why you always contain yourself. And in that moment of slippage, I think there's such a relief that she did it and she spoke out. And then everything that's come after that almost reinforces the idea that the box is that safe place to be.
Yeah, and this is one of the big fears that I've always had with Serena, is the fetishizing of her power, the fetishizing of her passion, the fetishizing of her aura. Because when it works in your favor, everybody loves it. But when it doesn't, she gets penalized even more harshly. And finally, let's go with for me, which was the most important part of this, which was the third part, the Serena, the symbol. You know, it was clear to me also in her post-match press conference that Serena is now viewed and views herself as a symbol. She's a symbol of motherhood. She's a symbol of strength, perseverance, passion, power. Naomi Osaka offered an interesting counter when she said, "When I step on the court, I am only a tennis player." So it made me wonder about the weight of all of this. Is Serena carrying and being asked to carry too much?
Of course she is. I mean, of course she is. She's become a symbol for so many women. Hearing her say to a man, "You owe me an apology, say you're sorry." For so many women, that's such a fantasy to be able to scream that at a man in a workplace who has a position of power over you. "You owe me an apology, tell me you're sorry." We could never do that, but we sort of live vicariously watching Serena do it. And that is unfair to her. I mean, she obviously doesn't speak for all of us, but I mean, I think it's a credit to who she is as a human being that we feel that way about her and that we sort of put our hopes and dreams on her.
She's also profited from this. She has marketed this. I haven't seen anybody market motherhood and power the way she has. There's a moment in time right now where, one, it's profitable for her. People are listening to this. It's something that I don't think that anyone's seen before. And I think one other thing, and Amira, jump in on this, is also that now you also see another shift where people are talking about her not only as the greatest female athlete of all time, but the greatest athlete, period. There is a shift taking place right now.
Certainly. And I think that Serena reminds me very much of this century's Jack Johnson. Her swagger, her unforgivable Blackness, and her sheer dominance in the face of all of these kind of other barriers. And I certainly think about that a lot, because I think sometimes when it happens that we're in this conversation about Serena, it's hard to have a nuanced conversation because we have to figure out if we're talking about Serena the symbol or Serena the person. And sometimes the problem and the politics of being a symbol means that you lose track of the person.
Now, does she get to be a person anymore?
Exactly. Exactly.
And so many times over the past week, Serena was clearly the proxy for what so many people feel daily. They see their struggles through her, and you could feel that projection throughout the week. This was Three Stories You Should Know, the Serena Williams edition. I'd like to thank my guests, Amira Rose Davis, assistant professor at Penn State, and Julie DeCaro, host of The Score 670 in Chicago. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Howard.